All right, good morning. Let's look in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, and we'll be starting in verse number 31. Let's pray for Miss Judy this morning at home in recovery. Brother Ethan, if you would, how about leading us in prayer this morning? Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 31. I'll let you find your place there. We went down to a revival meeting in, what was the name of that town? Lake Butler or something like that. And seen Brother Tim Green preach. I was a little bit upset. We need to pray for him on a regular basis. I thought that he had slowed down a little bit, being 68 years old. I remember when I was a little boy, 5 years old, he was already coming to our church up in North Carolina and preaching. And he looked just like he did. He looked just like he does now. He had white hair then, but the same hairstyle and haircut and everything. So at least you could say he's not one that's given to change. Anyway, but he seemed like the age was showing up in his voice, and just seemed a little bit different to me. And so time passes by, don't it? The Bible says, what is your life? It is just a vapor. Appears for a moment, and then it'll be gone. Amen? And so, well, let's pray for one another and pray that we'll stay faithful. And just a little reminder, amen? Now, some people like different preachers and like some less than other, but you can be thankful for somebody that stayed faithful all these years. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number... Oh, I brought that up just to say thanks to the people. We had about 20 people. Matter of fact, I think it was exactly 20 people that went, and we had a good time. Amen. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And also the preacher down there, the pastor, he appreciated it and so asked me to pass it on to you. So that's what that's all about this morning. Verse number 31, let's read here. We're almost finished with chapter 3. And let's start in verse 31 and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners. You reap what you sow. Amen. He scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And a lot of people looking for promotion this day and time, but that's not the promotion that you want. Amen. Can you imagine running through life trying to see if you can't get something better and do something better and receive something better? And because you won't listen to the Lord, the only promotion that the Lord gives you is shame. That's not the way that I want to live, and I don't think it is the way that you want to live either. So let's go back up to verse number 31, and let's start out here. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. And that's a great verse, and probably we could talk about that a little while, but we'll talk about two basic things in it. Envy thou not the oppressor. Well, the main reason I think why somebody would want to envy somebody that just goes around oppressing folks is probably because the idea of money and power. That's what you oppress people for, to get money out of them, to get money out of them. And so you look at somebody that's got money, You say, well, how did they get that money? You find out they're renting houses to people that's falling apart and not taking care of them. I went through Philadelphia one time, Brother Curtis. It wasn't the best day of my life, but I went through there anyway. And I seen this set of houses going down through there. And one would be, they're all connected, the row houses. I think everybody understands what a row house is. One of them would be intact with people living in them. And the next one would be burned out and roofs falling in and caving in. And the next one would be intact. And the next one would be just tore all to pieces. And that was the condition of those buildings. And people were living right in there. And there would be four or five rich men around the city that owned those things. And they just let people live in there like rats, making millions and in some cases billions of dollars. You know, Donald Trump is a landlord in wherever that place is he lives up there, New York or whatever that place. He's got all these Trump towers and stuff like that. Well, he builds buildings for people to live in. Well, these folks, they were billionaires living in Philadelphia and renting these places out and wouldn't take care of them. Well, you're getting something from somebody else, but you're not giving them nothing in return. So we give them some place to live. I don't call that some place to live. I call that a rat hole. Now, of course, they've got on to the president for saying something about these rat hole. I can't quote what he said, but I agree with what he said. Them countries these folks come from, they're rat holes. That's why they're trying to get out of them. Why are they rat holes? Because the leaders that they got, it's not because the people. See, people got the idea, well, these people live in these poor conditions, they must be bad people. Well, there may or may not be truth to that, but the absolute truth is that the leaders of those countries oppress the people. And they got this, they're talking about Korea. I don't know nothing about Korea, never been to Korea. But they tell me that the people over there are starving. They live on very little. And that might have something to do with the sanctions and stuff now. But I tell you this, when you can't look at what you want to look at, and when you can't eat what you want to eat, when you can't have the religion that you want to have, then you're being oppressed. And those people fall under those communist prescriptions, just like places in Russia and different places like that where you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. You go down in some places in Florida and they call it Little Havana or Little nicknames to cities and stuff like that. I wonder if there's a Little America in Cuba. Now, you go to Dearborn, Michigan, and it's full of Muslims. I wonder if there's any place in Saudi Arabia where you can go and find a little American city, a little American haven where they're marching in the streets with American flags and throwing bricks through windows and stuff. There ain't no place like that over there, because you're living in one of the greatest countries that you've ever lived in, but now the tides are turning, and the oppressors are getting the upper hand. You can't do this. You can't say that. You ought to be able to say anything you want to in this country. Amen. You ought to. Listen, how about this? Just about every major city in this country has a Chinatown. I wonder if Hong Kong has an America town. They just don't have it. They don't have it. You've got a place that's the most accepting place on earth. And they always talk about the race problem. America don't have a race problem, has a culture problem. Amen. People can't get along with one another because of their culture. And that's the biggest thing. You've got places all over America where people come, express their culture, and you go in some of those neighborhoods, you get your head beat in. Amen. Amen. Go up to New York and find a little Italian neighborhood and walk in there and say, hey, I hate all you Italians. But what's the old saying? Don't start nothing, it won't be nothing. Amen. Amen. Just take a peek out your window sometime and see what's going on in the street. Ain't nothing going on out there. Ain't nobody coming to get you. But that could change very quickly. You say, how does things go bad in a country like we've got? Forget God. Just forget God. I like one of the things he says here. He says, the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. I said, Brother Mike, what's his secret? Don't you know? I like that verse, amen. What is it? What is it, Brother Mike? Don't you know what it is? The Bible says his secret's with the righteous. I'll tell you what his secret is. His secret is his truth. The world don't know it. Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? What is truth? Well, every Christian ought to know what the truth is. The truth is incorporated. The truth is embodied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Just study who He is and what He is and what He did. You'll find out what the truth is. Well, there's a lot of aspects to that, and we're teaching on something else this morning. But what it is, people see these oppressors get in power, and they begin to make money and extort money and get influence and get power. And then people that don't have that begin to look at them and say, well, if that's the way you get power, then that's the way I need to live. And then they begin to incorporate that. And you can see America turning into a place where people, all they care about is money and power, money and influence, money, money, money. I got news for you. Some of the richest people in this, not just America, but in the world, are the most miserable people that there are. Yeah. Money. Money. You shouldn't be sitting around worried about how you can get rich. You should be sitting around worried about how you can feed your kids and how you can feed your wife and stop the water from coming in your roof. And once you get that done, I mean, you can have your taste, you know. Some ladies like country living. My mama, I don't think she ever failed to get a... I mean, we were dirt poor and couldn't afford nothing, but I don't think she ever failed to get a copy of Country Living. I don't know how often it came out, monthly or bi-monthly, but she, oh, I like the way this... It's okay to fix your house up the way you want to fix it up, but I'll tell you what, you can have the grandest mansion and still not have peace in your heart. Not have any joy. And some of us spend the most of our time trying to build our bank accounts and save for a rainy day. And all those things are prudent and wise. But if you're doing it for influence, if you're trying to get money so you can have the influence and so you can have friends, you're chasing an avenue that ends on a dead-end street. It's just not going to have. Just not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. Matter of fact, people think, well, if I get monies and cars, I'll have friends. No, your money and cars will have friends. Amen? That's just the way it is. When you get influence and power because of the things that you have, they're not your friends. They're friends of the money. And the Lord even said something about that. He said the unjust steward went and made friends of the mammon. He said there was some wisdom in that if you're trying to live in a worldly way and trying to survive in a worldly way. But I'm telling you this, if you've got money and if you've got power, and because of that you've got a bunch of friends around you, the money and the power goes, your friends are going to go. Amen. You know what you're going to be left with? Well, I don't know if you'll be left with nothing. You've got a few friends that you got while you was poor. And you turn your back on them like a little snob, they might not be there when you come back either. Of course, if they're true friends, they might pat you on the back and say, you poor imbecile, come on back in. I'll give you a cup of tea or something like that. Amen. Amen. The old saying is, be careful how you treat folks on your way up, because you'll meet those same people on your way down. Amen. Amen. That's true. That's true and that's right. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Don't choose those ways. Don't. And there's all kinds of stuff. I don't really want to spend a whole 30 minutes talking on this particular subject, but there's all kinds of ways you can oppress. Cut corners and tell them lies. And I don't know if there's a bigger way to oppress others than just tell them lies. Just tell them lies. Amen? And I think probably, I don't know about everybody, but in this generation that we live in, and it's been true for the last couple of generations too, everybody just wants to be accepted. Just be accepted. Have you realized how boring people have become in the last couple of generations? If you remember Brother Louis, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you why you liked him. So, Brother Mike, I know why I liked him. I'm going to tell you why you liked him so good. I never met anybody that said, oh, Brother Louis, I just can't stand that guy. I never met nobody like that. Now, he might have had enemies in his life. I don't know. But he was a pretty good fellow, wasn't he? But you know what was different about him? He was from a generation where people had some color about them. Their life was vibrant. They had character. And they weren't raised up in front of a television. And more than anything else, they weren't trying to be like everybody else. And so people had their individual and unique character about them. And I'm not talking about characters of principle. I'm talking about like you're watching TV for to find new characters, Ernest T. Bass and Barney Fife, and you know, you're trying to find interesting characters. Well, listen, some of these older folks, they had character because they they went their own way. And nine times out of ten, if you said, well, I like black-eyed peas. I said, I don't like black-eyed peas. Well, I like Pontiac. No, I like Chevrolet. And they wouldn't fuss at you too bad about your likes, but they had their own likes. If 9 out of 10 people today, they're so interested in being accepted by others. If you said you like black-eyed peas, if they hated black-eyed peas, they'd say, yeah, I like it too. I like that too. Well, I like to wear Gucci clothes. Well, I like that too. You never even seen it. Don't even know how to spell Gucci. Oh, yeah, I like that. That's the way people are. And what it makes is it makes everybody just one big bland blah. I don't want everybody to be like me. Of course, ugly and bald ain't going to help you none, so don't try to be like me. But what I'm just trying to say is folks ought to like what they like. Amen? And be honest. At least it makes it interesting. Amen. And you know what? I even appreciate, I don't like it, and I'm not in agreement with the sentiment. But if I tell somebody about the Lord, I'm more interested in the conversation if they'll just pipe up and say, I don't believe that. Now I know what I'm dealing with. Now I know what needs to be said and what needs to be prayed. You believe in the Lord? Yes, sir. I sure do believe in the Lord. Where you go to church? Well, I go to church over there at that what's that place over there? I don't know. You're the one that goes. They don't go to church nowhere. They're trying to make you happy by telling you what you want to hear. You don't go to church nowhere. Man, somebody was preaching something a couple weeks ago about stuff you ought to know if you're saved. If you're saved, you ought to know what church you go to. Amen? Amen? You might not remember 25 years ago, but you might remember where you went to church last week. I hope you do. If not, we'll help you get some room and shelter someplace. Amen. Because you ain't able to take care of yourself if you don't remember where you go to church. Amen. The problem is they don't go to church. Amen. Amen. Well, that's the way it is. Well, you know, in a small way, I think that's a simple form of oppression. Lies. It's lies. Amen. You know, you might be causing somebody to think they've got a friend when they don't have one. You ever been in a situation like that where you thought somebody was your friend because they always agreed with you and always smiled and shook their head, but then you found out, well, he thinks you're ugly. She thinks you're ugly. He thinks you're this, or he thinks this, but he thinks you're a jerk. You find that out from somebody else. Usually this one told that one, and that one told this one, and this one told that one. That comes back around to you. Oh, I thought that was my friend. So that's going to happen. And that make you feel bad for 2 or 3 days, even if you're one of these super Christians that don't care what nobody else thinks. That's another thing, too. Preachers in the pulpit, I don't care what anybody else thinks. Why are you so upset then? Amen. When you get to the place where you're not upset about anything, stuff won't bother you at all. Amen. And I'd be willing to admit, somebody, you say, well, I don't like this old time stuff. Oh, I get up. Oh, I can't believe they said that. I can't say that to me. Okay. Go on to Joel Osteen's church then. Be all right with me. Whatever you got to do. Amen. But you got to grow. And as you grow and as you get older, you learn not to get so upset about these things. You know, this fella's going to be what he's going to be, and this fella's going to be what he wants to be. I think a couple of years ago, I got to, I was raised around Harley Davidson motorcycles and stuff like that, and they always made fun. All my uncles always made fun of these guys riding a Honda and stuff like, oh, you got a Honda. I think part of maturity is just not caring what somebody else has. Amen. Who cares what? They liked it and they bought it. Leave them alone. And part of that, you know, after a while, it becomes to the place where people have that, I've got to go out and buy a Harley or I'm not going to be accepted. So, I mean, you can buy a Honda a lot cheaper than you can buy a Harley. So guys can afford a Honda, but they can't afford a Harley, but they'll go into the extra debt just to be accepted. And see, you're submitting to an oppressor. You're submitting to an oppressor. And you say, well, who exactly is? Well, I don't know. Just about every Harley rider I've ever met been like that. So what you're getting into is when a whole group of society, when a whole sector of society is pushing a certain thing, mini skirts, yoga pants, Harley Davidson, Toyota pickups, Ford pickups, Chevrolet, when a whole section of society is in league with each other against everybody that's not like them, that's oppression. And that's when you're dealing with the world. The world is at enmity with God. A Christian shouldn't care what anybody else drives. Now, if you and your friend want to pick on each other out in the parking lot about what each other drives, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that seriously won't talk to somebody else because they drive a Jeep. Man, I'm driving it. See, but there's people like that. Harley riders don't. You ever seen a Harley rider going down the street? Another Harley comes by. Half Hitler salute. When the Honda comes by. Yeah, it's just one of those things. People stick to it like religion. Yes, they do. Envy thou not the oppressor. Now, we could talk about all kinds of stuff like that, and that kind of stuff is kind of interesting to me, but just get out of the place, if you're a Christian, get out of the place where everybody else has to live up to your likes and dislikes before they can be accepted. The Bible says if you believe on Jesus Christ, you are accepted in the blood. Amen? Just get yourself out of that place where you've got to please everybody. Somebody says something, I'm glad you like what you like. I don't like it that way. Amen? One of the hardest things that I ever had to get used to was sit down at the table, and you got to be thankful. Boy, I moved up north one time. These folks thought, eventually you got to eat up there. Amen? And moved up there because that's where my wife was from. And man, I tell you what, first couple of times I sat down at the dinner table, they bring you this food. I think that's what it is anyway. Green beans taste like cardboard. Mashed potatoes with no black pepper and no butter. Man, you're supposed to put that stuff in there while you're cooking it. Amen. But they make everything bland and bring it to the table and let you season it yourself. It's too late. It's too late. It's like getting saved after you're dead. It's too late. Bring you that food and put it on the table and taste it one time. How you like them taters? Excuse me. How do you like those potatoes? We're up north. I forgot I was telling you a story about being up north. And boy, I tell you what, after a while I just said, I don't like it that way. We say, well, isn't that rude? No, the next time I come over, they made it the way it's supposed to be made. Why suffer through it when a simple word can change your lot in life? Amen? I just don't like it this way. Amen? Now, if I would just keep saying, yes, I like these cardboard green beans, and yes, I like this lemon peppered chicken, and yes, I like... No, next time we had fried chicken and mashed potatoes with butter in it, amen? Now, I like lemon pepper stuff on fried chicken. That's good, amen? But see, nobody would have known that if I had said, yes, your Yankee food is delicious. I like it. Just be honest. No, I don't like this. Amen? Now, where I come from, you eat it whether you like it or not. Didn't they make y'all do that when you was little? Lord, have mercy this day and time. I can't tell you how many times my little boy I've had to tell him, eat. Of course, the conversation didn't start off that way. It was, eat your food, son. I said, eat your food. Eat your food! Tell you again, I'll whoop you right here at the table. Amen? Y'all still whoop your kids, don't you? You say, if they don't eat their food, man, you realize... Well, I can't get on into that. Make them eat their food, amen? Make them eat their foods. I didn't like that Yankee food, but I did eat it. Amen. I did eat it. One thing they did make good up there, they put this sausage stuff in the spaghetti. Oh, that's good. What is that stuff called? Kielbasa or something like that? Cut it up real fine, put it in there. I like that. Amen. So they do got one meal up there that's good. And pizza. They got good pizza. Don't want to make it seem like no Yankees can cook anywhere. There's some Italians up there that can cook. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Now, how about this one? This is going to be the biggest one that all of us at some point in our lives probably been guilty of. If you hadn't, praise God for you. But he says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. You know, I think one of the biggest oppressors in our country is not the government, and it's Hollywood. Hollywood. Most of the problems that you have in morality today come from Hollywood. The homosexual, the queer epidemic, that's what it is. It's queers. That's strange. Amen? Now, that's maybe an abusive word, but they're using it about themselves now. But the word means strange, and that is strange when two men are attracted to one another or two ladies attracted to one another. That's strange. That is strange. But I'm telling you right now, Hollywood, it has, all men are sinners. We can all find ourselves in sin without Hollywood. But we lived in a country, this country was a country that promoted Christian standards and Christian ideals. The people in it did that, not the government. The people promoted Christian standards. And one of the biggest breakers of that fence made out of standards that we had in this country, one of the biggest breakers of that hedge was Hollywood. Hollywood. You go back two generations or three generations to the television stars that all the older folks loved, and all, those were homosexuals behind the scenes. Rock Hudson. Oh, I don't know how many these ladies around here was just dreaming about Rock Hudson, like some of you ladies might be doing about Brad Pitt or something. Oh, he's such a dreamboat and such a dreamboat. And Rock Hudson was a homo. And if you go back and watch some of those films and stuff, they dropped little hints along the way. And those little hints became bigger hints, and those bigger hints become just, oh, I see. I seen a movie one time with Brad Pitt, the last time I ever looked at Brad Pitt. When the television, if a commercial comes on with Brad Pitt on it, I just look away. I don't want to see it. Some movie about some big war hero from the past. And I don't even remember what the name of the movie was. But he's this big war hero and he's killing all these people. Next thing you know, he's inviting a man into his bedroom. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hit the stop button right there. See, I think you've got to be a homo to play in a movie like that. You don't have enough money to pay me to get in a bed with another man. Amen? Amen. It just ain't going to happen. Well, we got this one room here, and all we got is this here one bed. Looks like we'll have to spend the night here. No, I'll sleep on over yonder. I'll sleep propped up in that chair. Amen. So, well, I don't have any problem with just a friend. Well, I'm going to sleep right over there. Amen. Amen. If you roll off the bed, I'm going to go sleep on the front porch. Amen. I'll sleep on the floor, you sleep on the bed, or either I'll sleep in bed, you sleep on the floor. Two men, just, no, sir. No, sir. Just not going to do it. You say, don't you trust yourself? No, I don't trust you. Amen. That's just the way that is. But they've pushed that stuff, and it's ruining our nation. So I think we ought to be inclusive. And I don't. I don't. I don't think so at all. Mm-mm. Listen, as long as we got the same culture, I'll be friends with a black man or a Chinese man. Now listen, if you took a black man that come right out of Africa and he's still got the abusive ways that they are pushing and promoting over there like in Somalia, I'm not going to be your friend. You take one of them fellas, one of them pirates out of Somalia and one of them hoodlums out of Somalia or Chicago, and you bring him around me, I'm not going to trust him, not going to be friends with him. But if he's got a good culture, if he comes from a good upbringing, he's got a good character around him, I'll be his friend. And that same goes for Chinese and Japanese, although I'm still mad at the Japanese for bombing Pearl Harbor. Amen? I raised my eyebrows at Germans, too. Amen. When the government says, no, we need to trust them, that means they're trying to work out a trade deal. Right. Amen? Now, but you, to me, it's not about race. To me, it's about culture. Right. Amen? And this culture of homosexuality, I don't want to be the friend. Amen? That's the way I feel about that. And you say, what is it? Somebody's trying to pervert your nation. Somebody's trying to pervert your children. Amen. And so I'm not going to choose any of his ways. Now, if I can't choose any of your ways, what good is it for me and you? How can two walk together lest they be agreed? See, we got, and choose none of his ways. You know what you could say right there, and I'm not in any way insinuating you should change the Bible, but choose none of his ways. His ways is talking about his culture, the way he navigates this world, the way he operates in his life, the manner with which he lives. If you can't live in harmony with this man or woman because of the way they live, then just separate from it. That's the way that should be. Envy not the oppressor. And so, little kids now, 12 years old, they talk just like they talk on TV. The movies when I was a boy that was rated R, they're PG-13 now. This modern day 13-year-old, he can handle a lot, can't he? Of course, you got to put him on Ritalin so he can cope. My mama gave us Ritalin. That Ritalin was, I don't know if it was Ritalin, but it was a riddle. Guess how many licks you're going to get for this transgression? Mama never would tell us. She'd just start whooping. The school teacher was always nice enough to tell us, see, the school teachers gave you whoopings when I was a boy. And they'd say, I'm going to give you 3 licks for this one. I could take 3. Mama'd just start beating. A lot of times she'd break till the switch broke. She would give you licks till the switch broke. That's just the way that went. So that's a big riddle, amen? And it cured attention deficit disorder.
That's right.
And all sorts of things.
Right. Amen.
Amen. There must be something in crabapple trees that cures. I wonder if you broke down one of them Ritalin tabs, would you find crabapple in there? I don't know. But them switches sure did the trick. Well, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Did your mama ever have to tell you 2 or 3 times to eat? Envy thou not the oppressor. Well, when these people constantly come in and constantly attack your life, the way you live, your Christianity, when it's over and over and over, you ought to come to the conclusion at some point that it's a form of oppression. They're trying to wipe this thing out. You ever noticed how in America there's a multiculturalism, multicultural, all this push for multicultural? Well, America's about the only country in this world that has multiculturalism. And the reason that it is they're trying to get rid of one culture. When they get rid of the one culture, then they'll decide, well, we need to unify in America. See, the news media right now is divisive, 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 divisive. And it's always this Christian's fault. Always the Christian. You know, these Christians are just, and it's just, it's on movies, it's on the news, it's on television programs. The crazy guy is always the religious guy. Always the Christian guy, I should say. But we've got to be more accepting of one another. When they say, you know, we've got to be more accepting, that means you've got to accept the homosexual. It don't mean they've got to accept you. Amen? Well, this person believes 2 men should be together. Can't you accept that? Well, I believe 2 men should not. Can't you accept that? No, we cannot. That's closed. That's bigoted. Be careful who you let get in charge of defining words.
That's right.
Amen? Because they'll use that. You don't want to be a bigot, do you? You don't want to be a bigot, do you? And that, you could boil it down to that, and that's what they're saying on television 24/7. You don't want to be a bigot, do you? You don't want to be. And people go, no, I don't. Just like they're in a trance. Oh, no, I would never be a bigot. And so there are grown men in this country who would never think of kissing another man. And now this guy, this flaming homo comes by and speaks to them, and in their mind they're thinking, I should just punch this guy right dead in his face. That's what I think. Get away from me. People walk by, and that's what's going on in the guy's mind. But then from out of some place, the television dials into his brain waves, and what comes out is, I'm doing fine. How about you? I pulled up to the McDonald's window one time, and this fella comes up to the window there to give me my order. How are you doing? It ain't none of your business how I'm doing. Oh, I about had a heart attack. Lord, have mercy. You say, well, you should be nicer than that. Why? Why should, because CNN said you should be? No. Only person I want to be around that's been kissing any man is my wife.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. But you've been programmed. Listen, you don't. Social norms do not change in a generation without help. You don't go from your daddy just being upset as he can be about something like that to your generation just accepting it with open arms. You don't get there without help, and you don't get there without being programmed. Hypnotized, if you want to use the word hypnotized. Of course, I don't know if they can fully do it, but you've been basically hypnotized by the TV. They keep saying, and you will accept this, and you will accept this, and you will and how's your country turning out? So, well, everything's fine since Trump's in. Boy, when this thing busts, it's going to bust.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I appreciate some of the stands that Donald Trump is making as far as the economy and getting rid of some of the socialism programs or something like that. But listen, before we got into this, man, Bill Clinton and George Bush and Barack Obama took the debt of this country and went through the roof with it. We've been fighting a war for almost 20 years and spending billions of dollars every year on it. We're not going to recover from that. It's not something's got to change or it's going to bust. And by change, I don't mean pay back all the debt or anything like that. You cannot change it. You cannot pay back all the money that you owe, and it's going to bust. One day they're going to come out and say the American dollar is no longer any good. Because when I was a boy, you could buy a bottle of pop for 25 cents, and now it's $2. It's inflation. It is not. Well, believe that if you want to. But now let's pull this down here and say this is $0, and this is a dollar. And that thing keeps coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down. It ain't going to go back up. It's impossible. The only way you could make it do it is take an incinerator and burn about $20 trillion and just say that's no good anymore. And when you do that, the world's going to fall apart. You say, why? They're all using our money. So that dollar bill keeps coming down, coming down. It's somewhere around in here right now. But when that thing hits zero and goes beyond, you're done. You are done. I hope you got a bunch of gold coins you found off of an old Spanish wreck while you were diving in the Bahamas last time you went on a cruise or something like that. But I hope you found something like that, because that paper ain't nothing. And it represents something that's getting smaller every day. Say, so how did we get this way? Because of bad politics. No, it wasn't bad politics. It was bad Christianity.
Amen.
It was bad Christianity. And if I read Romans chapter 1 correct, the Bible says when you give God glory and when you give God thanks for the things that you have, He blesses you and He helps you. And when you don't, everything goes in the tank. I don't care if that's a single family dwelling. I don't care if that's a single man's dwelling. I don't care if it's a nation. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So, well, I don't think America's ever been a Christian nation. No, it hasn't. But it's a nation that had an extreme amount compared to the rest of the world of people who followed Bible principles. And man shall not live by bread alone. Man lives by the word. You live by the word, you'll do right. Listen, if you live by the word, your house will do good. Amen? And the Bible says if you'll do that, if you'll live by the word, when the judgment comes upon your neighborhood, your community, your county, your state, your country, whatever the case may be, the Lord said he'll be a covert for you. He'll be a shelter for you. And he will. He certainly will be. So he says, envy thou not the oppressor. One of the biggest oppressors you've got is the television set. If you're going to watch television, you better sit down with the mindset, I ain't believing nothing that these people say. Amen? And if they're talking bad about you, what's entertainment about that? If they say something bad about Christians, just turn it off and go build something in your garage or something. I mean, do something productive. Why sit there, you know, and listen to somebody talk bad about you? Go to church today and people say, well, I can't stand this preacher. I can't. No, you used to like that preacher. You used to like that kind of preaching, but the television told you it wasn't no good, so you started following that. There used to be a time when a preacher would stand flat-footed behind the pulpit and say, you're wrong. You need to get that right. But people won't stand for that today. Why? Did their palate change? No, their palate didn't change. Something went in their ear and said, stop letting people tell you what to do. Stop letting people tell you. Well, what kind of good logic is that? Go tell your mama that when you're about 12 years old. Mama, you can't tell me what to do. So, well, I'm not 12 years old anymore. I'm not so sure about that. Amen. I don't think you'll ever get old enough not to need somebody's leadership and guidance. I don't believe you ever will. If you ever do, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. What would do most Christians good is just sit down one-on-one, let somebody point their finger in your face and say, change this and change this and change this and change this and change that. Yes, sir. That should be the answer. Go change it. But people, you say, well, we're living in a society now where we're all mature and we're all... No, you live in a society that's rebellious. It's a rebellious society. That's the main spirit you get from television, and that's one of the most oppressive things that there ever has been, is rebellion. The Bible says like witchcraft. It's why is rebellion like witchcraft? Because it's stealing authority. That's what it is. Some guy comes out here, this Indian, he builds him a fire and he dances around the fire. What's he trying to do? He's trying to make it rain, right? Well, does it work? I don't know if it works or not, amen. If I need some rain, I just turn on the water hose and stick it up in the air and let it come back down. And man, there's more than one way to make rain. But you're trying all this. I'm going to go to this Sister Diana or whatever they call these people on the side of the road, mystic readers and stuff. I'm going to get her to cast me a spell on this man or this woman so they'll fall in love with me. You see, you're trying to control things that are not yours to control. That's rebellion. That's witchcraft, is trying to steal the authority of somebody else. God makes it rain, not you, not a Cherokee Indian. Amen. Amen. You can go to Cherokee right now and you can pay the Indians up there to do a rain dance for you. When I was a kid, my mom and daddy paid the little Cherokees to do it. Them ain't Indians. Those are P.T. Barnum and Bailey sideshow guys. I don't care what their heritage is. You get out and dance for money. You've done sold out your culture. But these guys are going to do this dance to make it rain or cast this spell to make somebody like you or give you money or something like that. Listen, God is the one that gives you favor with men. God is the one that causes it to rain. So you're stealing somebody. You're using witchcraft to steal God's authority to make it rain or not rain. Well, that's what he says. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is when your mama says do this and you don't do it. You're usurping her authority. You're saying, I now have the authority to tell me when to come in at night. I now have that authority. And listen, as far as Christianity goes, if a preacher's preaching from the book and the book says what he says, legalism, not, well, it is legal because it's what it says right there. That's what it says in the book. You have to do it. Well, I ain't going to do it. Okay, go your own way, knothead. Now, if you're just making stuff up, I'm your preacher and I think you should all wear white shirts. Now, you understand how foolish that is. You understand how foolish that is. But if the Bible says not to envy and not to covet and not, you see all these things, if the Bible says it and the preacher's preaching about it, either number one, he's lost his mind and he's thinking he's going to win your hearts by fussing at you, or else he's telling the truth and you better listen. Well, I'll teach him. I'll go to church somewhere else. It's going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt the preacher. Not going to hurt. See? Now I have spent a whole hour on that one verse. I was fully persuaded I could get through verse 35, but I didn't. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. We need, as far as ways are concerned, we need a Christian culture. We need to get back to it. We need to have a revival of it, a revival of Christian culture. And the more that our country, the more that it is promoted on TV about race and all this division stuff, that's the more I'm going to talk about culture. It's about culture. It's about a Christian culture. You can have, well, we need American culture. No, we need Christian culture. We need a culture back that says, this book is the truth. We're going to follow this book. What the book says we will do. Amen? That's what we need. Lord, pray you'd help us this morning. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the Bible. We need a Bible culture. We need a culture of Bible believers. And I pray you'd help us with it. Guide us into it. Lord, some of us have lost our way in this matter of just trying to be accepted by everybody. Lord, nobody is brave enough to even express their opinions about different things because they might make somebody mad or hurt somebody's feelings or offend somebody. And Lord, in the right context, we ought to be very careful about offending somebody in the spiritual matters, God. But Lord, in this matter of just what car we drive and what clothes we drive and all this stuff, standing up for truth, there's no concern. There ought to be no concern about that whatsoever. We ought to stand for the truth and believe the truth in love and with compassion. We understand that, but Lord, I pray you'd help us to do it. And Lord, you said your secret would be with us. And Lord, the things that you want to that you want men to discover, we'll be able to discover if we'll follow what truth is. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do it. Pray you'd help us to dedicate our hearts and lives to it. And we'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break.